Joshua chapter 2, we're going to read a few verses here. Verse number 1, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death.' And the men answered her, 'Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee.' Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, 'Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way.' And the men said unto her, 'We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear.' And she said, 'According unto your words, so be it.' And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but they found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, 'Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity once again to be at your house. Lord, I pray that you guide my words tonight. Lord, I want to be a help to our people here, and I want to be a help to our pastor who's not here. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look out for each other, Lord. This is the family of God, and Lord, we should take care of each other. We should help each other and be there for each other. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to do a better job with that and to be there to assist when people need help, when people need a hand. And Lord, I want to be a blessing. Lord, help us tonight. Give me only what I should say tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have here an interesting story. Most of you are very familiar with the story, okay? I want to draw your attention, if you would, to the action that got these two men away from the city of Jericho. So you've got two men that came into the city, and they're trapped. They're essentially trapped in this city. And so Rahab, the Bible says she was a harlot, so not a lady of good repute, but Rahab has two men, and she has them hid. The spies are hid up above her house, and she sends the soldier and all of his men. She sends them on a wild goose chase, and they, as they're leaving, she lets the two men down the back way. And if you think about this, there's a lot of different, you've heard 100 different messages preached on this. And we're going to look at four different stories. I believe it's four, maybe it's five different stories tonight. And all of these have one thing in common. All of these stories have one thing in common. So I want you to go, if you would, go to 1 Samuel chapter 19. We're going to look at all the scripture first, and then we'll come back and give you a short thoughts from them. 1 Samuel chapter number 19. Look at verse number 11. Previous to this, Saul is still trying to kill David. So, verse 11, Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. Let's go to Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2. We're going to look at verse number 1, Mark chapter 2, verse 1. Bible says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And let's go to Jeremiah. Sorry, we're backtracking just a little bit. Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah chapter 38. This is the hardest one that you have to find, so you'll be all right from now on. Jeremiah chapter 38, verse number 6. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which is in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords, and Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Now, if you would, look at Acts chapter 9. It'll be the last one, then we'll reference these again. Acts chapter number 9. Look at verse 22. Acts chapter 9, verse 22. Bible says, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Now, say, Brother Chad, what do all of these things have in common? Well, I think if you're paying any attention at all of what we're talking about, they all have to do with ropes of some kind. Okay? Now, what I want to talk to you tonight about is this thought. Now, all these different people had different situations. Okay? But this thought, I think, could be carried through all of these different stories. And this is the thought I want, if I could paraphrase it or whatever, it would be holding the ropes. Holding the ropes. I want you to think about this thought with me tonight, if you would. And I want to illustrate it. Let's see, Luke and Nathaniel and Samuel, why don't you come up here? I've got three young men, all right? Now, I trust all of these young men to some extent, okay? That's why I got three of them. So I figured if one of them failed me, the other two would, hold the rope, all right? So I've got up here tonight. This is the rope I normally use. This is the rope I normally use when I'm roofing steeper than, let's say, a 7-12 pitched roof. For instance, a 12-12 is a 45-degree angle, and you cannot walk a 12-12 roof. I can walk, a lot of times, I can walk an 8-12, okay, which is not terrible. But this is what I normally use, okay? It's got lanyards on it. It's got quick connects, all right? And the thought I want to give you tonight is we have the story of Rahab, and everybody talks about Rahab, or everybody talks about the two spies. And then we have the story, if you would, of David and Michael, which we don't really hear much about that one, all right? And then we have the story of Jeremiah and Ebed-Melech, which was in a pit, in a dungeon, in the miry clay, if you would. And we have that story. And then we have the story of the man that was carried by four friends, and they tore the roof off and they let him down into the room where Jesus was. And then they have the story of the Apostle Paul, who was in danger of his life, and some of the disciples came and they let him down the wall so he could escape. Well, one truth about all of this is that somebody had to hold the rope. Somebody had to hold the rope. It wasn't the fact of whether they were escaping for their lives, which honestly, in the case of two of them, or three of them, was very true. They were trying to escape for their life. One of them, Jeremiah, was being pulled out, in essence, the same thing, to save his life. And if you really want to say the truth, the other one, the fifth one, which would have been the man who was born of four, he probably was getting lowered also to save his life. Okay? So I've got three young men up here. I want you guys all grab this rope, okay? Shortly preferred. I don't need like 50 feet. There you go. I'll grab it. All right, stand in the lines here. Right here. There you go. Now, I'm going to put this on. I don't have a harness on tonight, obviously, okay? I don't normally wear a harness. I'm just going to put it around my waist, okay? So As I put this around my waist, you guys got this. I want a little more. There you go. Pull that in a little more. All right. Now, you got the rope. All right, now I'm going to lean forward, so give me a little bit. No, forward. There we go. Now, if I lean forward, all right, and I lean forward. Now, I am doing what? I'm trusting them, okay? You know who has the most important job at this point in my life? Not me. They do. You know who had the most important job for the spies was Rahab. Who had the most important job for David was Michael. Who had the most important job for Jeremiah was Ebed-Melech. You know, because when you're on the end of a tether and when you're on the end of a rope, you must trust those holding the rope. Me and Brother Samuel, we were working on these windows, and I don't know if he remembers, but you go out, if you stepped out these windows on this side, you've got about an 8-9 foot fall on that side. You step out here, you're about 3.5-4 foot. And I couldn't reach. I needed to nail something. And I couldn't reach. And I said, Samuel, I said, grab my belt. I was wearing a belt. So he grabbed my belt, and I leaned over backwards out the window to nail something. You know who had the most important job at that point? It wasn't me. I'm just the guy with the hammer and the nails. He's the guy with my life. Okay? Do you see what I'm saying? The guy that holds the rope, honestly, it doesn't matter what this guy's doing. If that guy lets go, or if those guys let go, I do not have quick enough reflexes to keep myself from being hurt. I'm not prepared. You know why I'm not prepared? Because I'm trusting somebody else that's got the rope. So I want to talk to you tonight about this concept of holding the ropes. Holding the ropes. You say, Brother Chad, where's Pastor at tonight? Honestly, I have no clue. I really don't. He's out preaching at camp someplace. But you know what you are doing tonight? You're holding a rope. You know the guy at... You guys okay?
All right.
Sometimes you want to check on the guys holding the rope. But you know the guys holding the rope? Like I said, they have the most important job. But you know what else they do? A guy holding the rope allows me to do something that ordinarily I could never do by myself. Think about that. The guy holding the rope, you may never know his name. But he allows me to work on something I may not be able to work on by myself. Me and Brother Lucas were working the other day, and we had like three jobs in a day. And we were in Pimento, then we drove to Bloomfield, then we drove to Linton. We're working all over the place. In Bloomfield, there's a house that's about 812. Normally, I can walk an 812. It needed to be patched. It had about six shingles that needed put in. But the only problem was at the end of the 812 pitch roof was about a 20-foot drop. Now, normally, I'm okay. And we did. We walked up the roof. We got up there, and I walked down to where the roof needed shingles. But the roof is old enough that the asphalt is starting to let loose on the roof. You know, all that would have to happen is one slip, and there's no way I could stop. As long as I keep my grip, I'm fine. You know what we did? I had a rope, wasn't this one. I had a rope, and I just tied a loose loop around my waist, almost like this, basically. And I said, Lucas, all I need you to do is sit on the ridge and just hold the rope. Now, to him, I'm sure that was a boring job. He wanted to be down there helping me. But that was the biggest help he could be that day, was allowing me to do something that honestly, by myself, I couldn't do or would have been very dangerous and foolish for me to do. Does that make sense? So we have these situations in the Bible where somebody is holding the rope. Somebody is allowing me to do, somebody's helping somebody else accomplish something that they may not be able to do by themselves. Okay? So I want you to keep that thought in your minds. All right, guys, you can be seated. Thank you for holding my rope. Keep those thoughts in mind as we talk about these things tonight. Like I said, holding the rope enables the person on the other end to be more effective. You say, Brother Chad, I don't feel like I'm helping Pastor any. You being in your spot is helping Pastor. You fulfilling your responsibility is helping Pastor. Being tied on the end of a rope requires a certain amount of trust in those that are behind you. The two spies, you know who they had to trust at this moment? Was Rahab. Have you heard how big the walls of Jericho were? This was not a small task for them to be on the end of the rope. All right? I imagine Rahab, if she was by herself, she had to have the line belayed to something else. I don't think she can hold two guys on a rope on this wall. But you know who they trusted at this point? It wasn't their own strength. It was to the lady that was holding that rope. You know who David trusted when Saul was trying to kill him? It was his wife. It was Michael. Holding the rope contributes to the success of whatever is going on. Reverend Chad, all I did is stand there and I held the rope. You don't realize what you're doing by holding the rope. I'm thankful that Samuel didn't let go of my belt that day. He looked at me, he don't probably remember, but he looked at me like, you're doing what? You're crazy. We worked in Kentucky. I worked for a professional framer in Kentucky. I may have told you this story. We worked over a river, and these were million-plus-dollar homes, and we were framing these homes. This one was three stories on top of a basement, overlooking a bluff that fell straight down to the river. And there were some nuts that worked on our crew. one of them, his name was Christian, and he'd be on the roof, and that's, they weren't tethered at all. And they'd be walking the walls around the top, a 2x4, 3.5 inches. And I know this isn't a big deal to iron workers. You know, they would laugh at you. But to me, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, he's walking around this wall, no harness, nothing. If he had to, he would lean all the way over, like if he's working on the roof and he had to get something on the bottom of the soffit, he would lean over the roof as long as you just had a hold of his belt. That's all he would do. You know what he trusted was the guy holding his belt, the guy holding the ropes. You know, I hope that when Pastor leaves, that he feels like I felt, I did not worry, honestly, after I gave them their instructions, I didn't even think about who was holding my ropes. Because if you're always thinking about who's holding your ropes, you'll never get done what you need to get done. Oh man, I hope they don't slip. I didn't think that. I never thought that. The only reason I quit was because my legs were starting to get tired and the rope was cutting my circulation off. I'd have stood there and preached the whole message right there. About to collapse. No, I'm kidding. No, I want to ask you tonight, are you holding the ropes? Are you holding the ropes? Or do people have this thought in the back of their mind, I wonder if they'll be there Sunday. Will they be there Sunday? Are they going to make sure that I don't fall? Because whoever's at the end has to trust you. And and I could have picked any of these guys, except for maybe Ian. I weigh more than he does. But I would have trusted any of these guys to hold my rope. Okay? But you have to develop that trust. And I want Pastor, if Pastor has to go away, this is my heart, is I want him to be like, okay, I gave Chad these things. I don't have to worry about him. Have I failed? Yeah, I failed at times. Okay? But I want to be that. I want to do that. We're going to look at a few different relationships tonight. But I want you to keep in mind that holding the ropes is important. Holding the ropes is important. Young people, holding the ropes, that's a young person job. Brother Chad, I don't know how to go preach to teenagers. Hey, I don't either. But I can hold the ropes for a guy that does. You know, I didn't hold Samuel's belt and say, Samuel, I'll hold you. You go out there and nail that. He'd be like, nail what? Looks good. I didn't ask him to do that. I knew what to do, but I needed somebody to hold me and help me. And like I said, he had the most important job. These young men up here, they had the most important job. Lucas, he had the most important job. So I want to ask you tonight, are you holding the ropes or are you goofing off with the things of life and the ropes slowly slipping through your hands? Think about that. Holding the ropes. Let me challenge you, first of all, hold the ropes for your family. Hold the ropes for your family. This is a very basic, very simple, it's just a reminder message, okay? Nothing fancy, nothing new. Hold the ropes for your family. You know, we see one of the relationships, Michael was David's wife. And you know what? Michael was there to hold the ropes for David when he needed help. You know, I'm so thankful my wife's not here. We have one that's sick or not feeling well tonight, but probably good because I want to brag on her. You know what? My wife never complains. I work weird hours, and she always is there, and I don't have to worry about things getting done. She never complains about it. She's just, I don't have to look behind me and say, I wonder if my wife is behind me. I know she's back there. I know she's there for me. And you know what? That ought to be true of every lady. And you know, not just that, I want to be that for my wife. You know, because there's times that my wife needs help too. There's times my wife needs a hand. There's times my wife needs to look back and know that her husband's behind her and for her and rooting for her. So it's your family. Could be your parents, young people. I thought about this, your parents. Do your parents, can they leave you at home? I'm just asking. And you say, "Bro Chad, that would be silly if they couldn't." Yeah, it would be silly if they couldn't. Amen. But your parents always have to wonder who they're going to call. Wonder who they're going to text. Wonder who they're going to try to get a hold of. You know, I'd hate to think that my parents would leave and have to wonder about who's back at home. You know, hey, you can help with things around the house. You can fix things around the house. You can keep the yard mowed. You can keep the trash taken out. You know what that does? It allows your mom and dad to do more because they know that somebody's back home holding the ropes. Okay? Be a blessing to them. All right? Be a blessing, young people. Be a blessing to each other in your family. I despised my brothers and sisters growing up. Or my brothers. I didn't have any brothers. My sisters. Sometimes I could not stand my sisters. I'm sorry. I need to go to the altar, I guess. But I couldn't stand my sisters. I mean, nag, 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 nag. It's like, good night. You are not my mother. You know what I mean? But I don't know. But you know what? And I was terrible as a terrible brother growing up. I really was. But you know, now, if many of my sisters call me, you know what? Yeah, what do you need? Can I help you? My little sister, she was at college with me. And I guess it's a big brother, little sister thing. But there was like no lenience as far as boys and my little sister. Amen. I was like, I got your back. We got this thing. But you know what? She didn't have to worry about, if she needed something, she didn't have to worry about, I wonder if my brother will help me with this. Hey, I know, I understand the whole sibling thing. I remember, I'm not so old, although I'm balding, I'm not so old that I don't remember being a brother and a sister. Help each other. Root for each other. You shouldn't be, you know, this is what typical brothers and sisters do. Go ahead, I got you. Oh, too bad for you. Yeah, we won't go any farther on that one because I've done that, okay? I was the bad brother on that. But listen, hey, hold the rope for each other. Be there for each other. You don't have to nitpick at each other all the time. Young people, be there for your parents. I want to be there for my dad. Hey, you know what? My dad took care of me for 27 years. No, I'm kidding. My dad took care of me for 18 years. And if my dad calls me and needs something, I want to be there for him. Amen. I want to help him. It's holding the rope. Holding the rope. Does your family trust you? Can they rely on you? Secondly, I want to challenge you to hold the rope for your friends or your peers. Young people, you need to hold the rope for those in your youth group. I gave you a list. I gave our young people this list plus a little during our teen training hour. You know what? They need to pray for each other. But that's, oh yeah, Brother Chad, that a youth group needs to pray for each other. Our church family needs to pray for each other. We need to back each other up. We shouldn't be looking around. You know, it's sad about Michael later on. Michael despised David later on. What happened to the lady that was faithfully standing behind her husband as he's scrambling for his life down a wall, and she's holding that rope? Then to the lady later on that despises him. I wonder what happened in there. I don't know. But something happened. So are you holding the rope? Holding the rope. Don't let go of it. Do you encourage your friends or do you let them down? Mark chapter number 2. We read that. But you know what? That man that was sick of the palsy, he was relying on his friends to get him to Jesus. How many of your friends, if they were at the end of their rope? Because listen, folks, a lot of people, honestly, are at the end of their rope. But you know what's nice when you're at the end of the rope to look back and see that somebody's holding on to your rope? Instead of being at the end of your rope and you're falling. Wonder if that young man that had the palsy, his four friends decided to, you know, they get him halfway down to Jesus and, ah, he's close enough. drop him. He'd have more issues than palsy at that point. Okay? So are you helping each other? I hate it when young people or people in the church, this is a family, folks. You got to be there holding it for somebody else. Don't be backbiting each other and stabbing each other in the back. Root for each other. Help each other. I want to look back, and maybe God wants me to do a certain job. I want to look back and see other people. You know, a Sunday school, a bus captain. You know what I want to be for a bus captain? I'm not a bus captain. That's not my job. But you know who I want to be for the bus captain? The guy back here and says, hey, I'll give you a little more rope. You want to go out a little farther? I'll give you some more rope. Don't worry, I got you. You know what I want to be for a Sunday school teacher? I got you. Go ahead. You do something that I can't do, and I'll back you up. You know what? That's what we are. Honestly, that's the way I feel about preacher. Preacher can do stuff that none of us can do. And I want to be the guy back there and say, all right, go ahead. You want to go to Alaska? There's a long rope. But I want to be, I don't want him to have to worry about, is he going to hold on to it? I always want to be there. So your friends, are you a help to your friends? When your friends come to you, or your peers, I should say, do you make them better for God, or do you drag them down? Do you hold the rope for your friends? Lastly is, do you hold the rope for your pastor? Do you hold the rope for your pastor? Two of these instances in the Bible were men of God. All right? They were men of God. There was Jeremiah. He was put in a dungeon, and Ebed-Melech, an Ethiopian eunuch, came by and said, there's a man of God, and he should not be in the dungeon. He said, hey, where's a rope? They didn't have any ropes. So they made a rope. And they lowered it down to him. They said, put it under your arms, we're going to pull you up. You know who Jeremiah had to trust at that point? Was the guys holding the rope. He had no ability to get out of that himself. He had to trust the guy with the rope. Then Acts chapter number 9. Paul's about ready to get killed. They're trying to find him to slay him, the Bible says. And you know what the disciples did? They got a rope and they put him in a basket and they let him outside the wall of the city so he could escape. You know, the man of God, I think it's important. Like I said, he can do things we can't do. I want to challenge you. Hey, don't be the one letting go of the rope. That he always has to come back and make sure that the rope's tied off. I don't want to be that. Don't be the one that whenever you know the pastor's going to be gone. Hey, listen, I don't want to listen to me either, all right? But don't be the one that when pastor's gone, well, pastor's not going to be here this Sunday. We're going to be gone too. That's not your time to be gone. If anything, that's your time to line up on the rope. Say, it's all right. You be gone. Everything's taken care of. You know, when we were gone for that trip to Arizona, you know what happened that Sunday? Was the whole church family got on this rope and said, all right, it's a big rope. 30 of you so are going out there. But it's all right. We got this under control. Hold the rope. Hold the rope. Remember, the one at the end of the rope can do things that I can't do. That's why I hold the rope. All right? That's why I hold the rope. So, Brother Chad, I'm getting up in years, and I can't do what I used to do. Yeah, but you can still hold the rope. Brother Chad, I'm young. I don't have the knowledge. You know, there's a funny time range in life. You're either too stupid to know how to do anything, all right? But you got all the energy to do it. Or you've got the age where you know how to do everything, but you're so tired you can't do any of it. You know what I mean? There's that. And then in between, you're just so busy with life, it seems like, craziness, that you can't get any of it done. And you're tired, and you're not accomplishing anything. So I don't know really where I'm at in life. I feel like I'm in that middle section. But Young people, you know what you can do? You can hold a rope. You can hold a rope. The rope for your parents. Hey, help your parents out. Your dad shouldn't be doing all the chores at the house. Your mom shouldn't be doing all the chores at the house. You know what that is? I'm giving you basic. You're holding the rope. Mom, go ahead. You guys need to go out for, you know, go do whatever moms do, you know. I'll take care of everything here at the house. Man, I'll be so looking forward when our kids can do that. Praise the Lord. No, hold the rope for your family. Hold the rope for your peers. If you see somebody that's going down a wrong path, you know, don't just let them, oh, here, I'll just let you go. That's not what a friend does. Friend says, here, whoa, here, I'll hold on to you. Hey, I kind of talk to the younger people, but that can be true about adults too. Hold the rope for each other. And then hold the rope for a pastor. If anything, this was, you know, obviously I preach when pastor's not here. So I want to be a help to pastor. I don't want him to have to, you know, always be looking behind him and thinking, I wonder if this is getting done. You know what I want to be? I want to be the guy that's watching him and spotting him and saying, hey, there, watch that spot. Have you ever been rock climbing? Anybody ever heard? Okay, not rock climbing. Anybody ever climbed a rock wall? Okay, rock wall. You know what's so helpful? Most of you haven't. You have no clue what I'm talking about. When you're climbing a rock wall, I'm just talking about a made-up rock wall. If you're on one of the more professional ones, not a homemade job, you've got usually a guy that's has your line. And you know what he's doing? He's holding your rope. And he gives you enough rope to move, but not enough rope to fall. And you trust that guy with, but you know another job he does? He looks out and says, oh, that's going to be a bad spot. Watch out for that spot. You'll have to go to the right to get around that. All right? Hey, be a spotter. Just be the guy that, all right, I got you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Are you a rope holder? Or do you just think it's fun to let go? Yeah, it's all fun until you hit the bottom. And then it's not fun. Remember, the job of the rope holder is the most important job. But it also allows the guy that's on the end of the rope to accomplish more than he'll ever accomplish. Listen, folks, I love a pastor. I love him to death. Great friend. Great pastor. But you know what? What allows pastor to go do what he does is if you are in your spot. That's what allows him to go do what he does. And if he has to babysit his own rope all the time, he can't go get done what he needs to get done. I will never meet the kids that he's talking to this week at camp. I don't even know where he's at, honestly. He don't tell me. He just tells me if he's gone or not. And it's none of my business. You know, hey, listen. Get over the whole, wonder where he's at this week. If I'm outside the window, okay, and I'm hanging over the edge of the window, and Samuel can't see me because he's holding the rope, I don't want him to come look for me. Does that make sense? I just want him to know that he has one job, and that job's to hold that rope. Is, you know, honestly, it does not bother me if preacher, wherever he's at. My job's not to look at where he's at. My job is to concentrate on my job, and that's holding the rope. And it can be true about anything, family, relationship, whatever, friends, anything. Hold the rope. Don't let go. Be in your spot. It's reassuring to work. I've worked with Lucas substantially. I've worked with Samuel some. there's something that comes when you work together with somebody, and those men of you that have worked together with somebody for a long time, there's a trust that develops. I don't know that I would trust either one of them to swing a sledgehammer while I'm holding a steak. We have not got quite to that trust level yet. But there is a certain amount of trust that comes. And you know what? When we work together as the family of God, and you work together, you become to trust people. So let me challenge you, don't betray the trust. Don't let go of the rope. Don't even act like you're letting go of the rope. You know what happens if those three guys, if they thought it would have been real funny? There's the reason I picked three of them. Because one guy by himself would think, this would be funny. I'm going to give him 6 inches, you know, and grab it. Well, you know what that got? I've been on the end of those ropes. You know what that got? That does to the guy on the end of the rope? Yes. Reflexes. And everything that he was trying to do and everything he was trying to accomplish is dropped. And honestly, sometimes pastor has to do that. And he shouldn't. He has to drop everything he's doing because somebody lets go of the rope. Shouldn't happen. Shouldn't happen. But I'm thankful for these young men. I'm thankful for the young ladies. You guys don't know how blessed you are to have the young people that you do here at this church. I saw tonight, while we were meeting, something that churches around the country probably wish they could ever see in a lifetime. Brother Chad, what was it? Just hold the rope. You know, these young people, for those that are older in here, and I'll quit, I'm kind of rambling. For those that are older in here, you've got some knowledge that if you can get to these young people, they've got the energy to carry out. And if they've got a little bit of rope and somebody's saying, here, I got you. Don't let, we get some young people, we've got some great young people in here. Just because they mess up once or twice doesn't mean you let go of the rope. I love the young people in here, and I will fight for them. Brother Chad, I've been here longer. Yeah, that means you're closer to death. Sorry, I mean, it's true. You want to get down to the nitty-gritty? These young people right here on these front rows and sitting out here have more potential to do something with their life than you have. As long as they got somebody holding that rope for them. Don't let them go. Well, they're just not going to do anything with their life. Okay, you can go away. I'm going to stay here and hold the rope and pray to God that they do something with their life. Do I have help? There's only one of me, and some of them need somebody to come up behind them. There's some young ladies that need somebody, older lady to come up to them and say, go ahead. I got you. I got your rope. Are you holding the rope or are you letting it go? That's a thought tonight. Take it with you. Think about the stories. You know, it's nothing fancy. It's just a practical truth. But take it with you and think about it. Let's pray. Father, it's been good to be in your house tonight. Lord, I want to be a rope holder. I want to be somebody that everybody can trust, that they don't have to worry about where I'll be or if I'll be there. Lord, I want these young people to know that they're going to mess up in life. They're going to maybe make some decisions that they shouldn't make. And Lord, that's fine. I've done the same thing. But God, I want them to always know that there's a church that they can come back and they can know that there's somebody here that's rooting for them, that's holding their rope. Lord, I want to be there. I want to be holding the rope for them. God, I want to be that for my pastor. God, I want to be a rope holder. I want to be that for my wife. God, you've given me an awful good wife, and I just want to be there to hold the rope for her. And Lord, every relationship of life, I want to be a rope holder for the church members here, and they don't have to worry about if Brother Chad's going to help.
I want to be there. God, help me to be better at that. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to give us to come to your house. In Jesus' name, amen.